Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You are tuned in to With All Dude Respect. That's right, dude, where we talk about some deep topics, some emotional shit, some edgy stuff, and then, of course, some shenanigans and hijinks. My name is Rick Wright. I am on the East Coast, and joining me is my amazing, phenomenal, thoughtful, talented, what else could I say? Starbucks-loving shenanigator. His name is Jim Ellis. Jimmy, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. It's great to be here. I love being free in a free world with freedom of expression with Mr. Wright. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Today is one of those days we had like shitty weeks, like on the Northeast. It was very cold and it was dreary. It was like the cloud. It's phenomenal.
You're breaking up a little bit.
How am I now?
You're now very good. Before you were not getting okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. You know what? Good. All right. I just shifted positions. So we had bad weather here on the East Coast. It's a gorgeous day today. I'm getting ready after our show to play some softball. I'm actually going to ride my bike there. And I'm looking forward to getting out and running around a little bit. And so that's what's up, man. What's up with you?
What's up with me? Well, I just had an experience that kind of bugged me. But I actually, I was talking to you about it before the call started, but I actually realized it's part of the free expression that I want so much in the world and in my life and in my men's division. So I'm celebrating it, too. What happened was my men's team leader, we're in a men's organization, Rick and I, for those who don't know, I warned him about something that was coming down the pike, like, oh, there might be a scheduling conflict with one man whose wife's birthday it is coming up. And he fires back a text telling me to stop mothering him. And I'm like, fuck. Like, I guess I could have said, warning, Captain, you know, wave approaching the starboard side of the boat. You know, I mean, I think it's important for everyone to speak up. And initially I was pissed off, like, you know, I'm just trying to help out here. Then I realized, wait a minute, I do want him to say that. If he's feeling that or thinking that, I want him to be free to say that, and then I'm free to respond back. So I don't know. I just had that experience, and it kind of ties into today's show, but that's what's on my mind because I just read the text before the show started.
So. It's funny. It reminds me, he when you were explaining it again, because you gave me a little bit before the show, you know, it sounds like he sprung right into like the Cartman syndrome, you know, respect my authority, you know, and it was like, he was sort of pissed that you were like, you know, he's like, did he even say I know that? Or he was just saying, just sort of let me fail.
That was an idea, like, let me fail, let me screw this up. I don't know. I guess I could have. I don't know. Yeah, so let me screw it up. Let me fail, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Which, I guess it's a fine line, huh? It's like, I experienced that when I was a division coordinator. It's like, let the men fail. It's like, set them up to do their best, but then let them fail and let them learn a lesson. Don't rescue. At the same time, if you're leading something and you don't want it to crash, it's kind of a fine line.
Like, don't mother. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like you get accused of mothering the man, right? But the way I look at it is our circles – in our organization, you know, it's great practice. You can screw up royalty, you know, royally. You can fuck up. You can do all sorts of crazy shit, and it's not going to really affect the real world stuff. And hopefully, you'll get this amazing lesson, you know. But from what the circumstances you're telling me, you know, there's something that could be, you know, that could affect the man. You know, I don't know. Maybe the guy's wife what we're talking about is a guy and a man on his team was going to has something to do with Monday with this meeting, and it's his wife's birthday. So there might have been like some kind of personal conflict. But who knows? His wife might be out of town. You know, you don't know.
Right.
Like, again, now we're like making all sorts of assumptions, breaking, you know, agreement number three. But yeah.
Yeah. So I think as long as people are speaking up, spouting off, there's hope. There's hope and clarity. But once, like, if I didn't say anything, like if I knew that there'd be a possible conflict that could be, you know, avoided, and the team could all meet together on a certain night, and I didn't say anything, shame on me. So, and after I say something and someone's triggered, and they might start holding a grudge against me, if they don't say something, shame on them. I believe, and maybe you've seen this, Rick, when both parties feel the freedom to share where they're at, and they don't quit, that's a key thing. They don't quit on, well, you're an asshole and I'm leaving. If they don't quit and they keep talking, it ultimately resolves. It will ultimately resolve in, oh, okay, but you got to keep going. And it's very rare that relationships, especially men and women, are able to keep burning through to get to the other side of, oh, okay, we're on the same page.
Yep.
But anyway, right. I'm so glad we have a First Amendment in our country that would allow for such freedom of expression and not censoring. But do you experience that in your men's team that, you know, everyone's kind of free to spout off? And if they don't speak up, problems arise?
One man keeps a seasoned man. One man has been around for a long time. He always, whenever he gets an opportunity, he always says, this is one of the rare places where you can go, where you can say whatever the fuck you want without any, you know, you might piss someone off, you might do something, but it's not, you know, huge ramifications. And, you know, in our circles, they're mostly mature men, masculine men. They're not, you know, bitching and moaning about stuff or being immature, you know, or you know, racist or, you know, or homophobic or, you know, Islamophobic. Then no one's, you know, it's not like a hate group. It's, you know, it's higher purpose stuff. So we don't get
right.
a lot of that. But do you still, I feel that men still feel like they have the space to be able to do that and say whatever the fuck they want. Now, I've heard some stuff that men went through in their lives, you know, that has been really, you know, horrific stuff. And it's like, it's not, you know, I don't know if that's First Amendment stuff or, you know, but we create a space in our circles that men can say whatever they want. And that's sharing from, you know, deep inside. And that's saying what they need to say, spouting off, even if it, you know, the thing is, even if it isn't appropriate, we don't, you know, we don't fucking, you know, we don't bash it, you know, we just let the man say it. And if he needs some processing, we process it. If he just wants to say it and just get it out, then boom, it's out, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes little time it does take if you've got a very large space of free expression. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot of time to just get it out. And then once it's out, there's a whole different layer that you're coming from. It's like, yeah, well, now that that's out of the way, I guess I don't mind that you know, these other things. It's just these, you know, these big boulders that are in our minds, and if we don't express it, don't get heard, then it just, you know, creates stifling and pretty much of a mess. But it's so funny, at the end of a meeting, you know, 3 hours later, I mean, you could say the most heinous things to each other as men. I only think it works with men, but that's my bias, because I think men can, like, say anything to each other, fuck you, da-da-da-da-da, and then after the three-hour meeting, you're like, all right, see you later. It's like, somehow it's
yeah,
not
where
taking
we meet,
birth.
Yeah. And where are we meeting next week?
Can I carpool
with
you? Okay, great.
Are you going heading that way? Cool, we'll ride together.
Oh, my Lord. Ugh, the free world.
Fucking crazy. But anyway, so do you want to – so here's my you know, my take on the First Amendment type stuff. Actually, the paragraph itself. I'll be straight up. When you showed me, it's literally that paragraph is the First Amendment, correct?
Yeah.
That little thing that we keep reading. That is the First Amendment, right?
That's the short First Amendment. Yep.
Well, dude, it's like, you read it, right? Because you set it up, you know, you set it up for the show. I think I sent you a picture of it, whatever.
Right.
There's so much room for interpretation. I'm curious, man.
I can't believe they put it all into one.
I know.
Pretty much one phrase, and it's all these different topics, really. It's not just freedom of expression. I guess it's in a different way. Like freedom of speech is one of the line, you know, one of the phrases, but there's all these other pieces of it too. Boy, I guess they really want it to be condensed and simple. But you're pointing out that there's a lot of room for, definition. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And the one big thing that comes up for me is religion. You know, like, you know, there's a lot of shit in the news and stuff about, you know, religion and different religions. And, you know, of course, you know, everybody, you know, the fact is that the Muslim religion is they need a PR person because, you know, they're on the front page of a lot of countries' newspapers and not in a good way. If you look at our First Amendment, man, it really covers like any religion. You know, it's very, very clear that, you know, there's, and I guess our forefathers or founding fathers left it so that they didn't want anybody to be persecuted over their religious beliefs. And I know that's part of why, you know, that's why they came over to America. Or actually, I think the reason they came over to America is because they wanted shit more strict, willing to have more, you know, not persecute people for certain things. So anyway,
can we read it? Can we read it?
Well, yeah. If you have it in front of you, can you read it?
Yeah. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Take that, yeah. Government. You're not going to come down on us, huh?
No, I'm just saying, it's amazing, right? Where was it? Did it also, I saw somewhere it says, like, you're allowed peaceful assembly. Right?
Right.
It didn't say that in there, though.
Yeah, it says, yeah, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. So you can't create a law that stops people from being able to, you know, peaceably, is that even a word anymore? Peaceably to assemble. So as long as they're assembling peacefully, you can't stop them.
So let me ask you this. So, like, all the shit that goes on now, like, and it's probably over, like, if you look at the last 3 years on protests, like when certain things went down in, you know, with the Black Lives Matters and police officers, and then now with, like, the election, that shit wasn't peaceful. Like, there was people breaking shit, hitting other people, being violent, stopping traffic. Like, what, like, why, if that's the law, then why isn't it being enforced?
Why is it not being enforced?
Why is it not being enforced?
Oh, it was, wasn't it? If it wasn't, whoops, that's not cool. Because think of all the,
it's
businesses.
Not. Like, you look at it, like, you look on, like, just the police are just standing there. They're not really enforcing any of the stuff.
Could be some cover up. You know, like, well, let's allow this to happen. Let the media show it. Could be some kind of agenda that we don't know that's being run. I mean, you got to talk to the chain of command, like the police officer's supervisor. Like, well, why did you stand down? You know, hey Cheney, why did you stand down on 9/11? And why did you really do that? You know, maybe there's some agendas we don't know. But you're right. I mean, if somebody, think about it, you're a business owner, you have this business, you know, you have this building, and people are breaking the windows of it. I mean, that's breaking the law. You should be protected. So that's definitely goes against the First Amendment because that's not very peaceable.
another thing that I'm witnessing is that, yes, we can say anything we want in a certain context. There's certain things you can't say. And I think I covered this, we covered this on another show, is that, you know, you can't run into a crowded theater and be like, the place is on fire and start screaming and cause a stampede. You can't, you know, you'd be arrested. There's actually laws against that. But the thing is, like, politically correct speaking now, like, you can say whatever you want, but there is persecution for it. You know, I guess in the court of the public, you know, the public court, where,
right,
you know, I guess if you, you know, there was an incident in Philadelphia. Some, you know, some woman was, you know, I don't know what she was. She didn't seem like she was that drunk, but she was on camera, you know, berating a police officer, just literally just flipping the shit on him. And he stayed, like, the patience of this man was just phenomenal. He didn't flinch until the point where she did something and she got arrested. Turns out she was a local news affiliate, you know, girl or something. And she lost her job, you know, so she was exercising her rights. But at the end of the day, you know, she ended up losing her job over it.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to, like, piece it together. We're free up until the point where we are harming another person. Like, that's, I think, the bottom line, the foundational kind of law that we look at, like natural law. We are free up until the point where we're harming someone. Now, here's the tricky part. This is where it all goes awry. When people start talking about, you hurt me because you hurt my feelings. What you just said hurt my feelings. So now you have hurt me, and I'm now going to sue you. Or, like, now it's all wide open because how are you held accountable to how somebody else feels? It's so gray and vague that you cannot, it's not measurable. And it's in the terms of the person who might be having an emotional problem that you don't know. So that's where it gets crazy. And what I like is that, like, this Kathy Griffin thing where she did this free expression.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, was she arrested for that? No. But did she get the public opinion backlash and the commentaries from the media saying their shit? Of course. Because why? Because they're free. Because they're free to respond. But legally, she might be investigated. Like, hey, how serious are you about beheading the president? Or, you know, how serious are you? Like the president. And then she goes, I'm a comic. Okay, they probably leave her alone. But at least they got to check it out. So as long as she's not arrested, then the Constitution, the First Amendment is intact. But because of the First Amendment, because everyone else can have their free expression, then we're going to let her know. Either, way to go, I hate him too, or, God, what a stupid move that was. You know? Yeah. And everything else in between. But...
Yeah, I, you know what? It's so funny. It's like that was such a big thing. It's like the news cycle is so fucking short now, man. It's like so crazy. Like now, like the Comey shit's coming. It's like I'm like, oh, that's right, Kathy Griffin. That was all First Amendment stuff. Yeah, that was classic, man. But here's the thing too. Like I was talking to somebody. Like comedy has really suffered.
Yes.
From political correctness, man. It's like, I was just thinking, like, when was the last time, besides, like, who's the last hot comic to come out? That Kevin Hart, right?
Yes.
He was like the late, remember? Like, you know, it was Dice and Andrew Dice Clay, Sam Kinison, Eddie Murphy. Like, you would always have, like, every now and then you would have, like, one of these stars that would, like, just rock it up, you know? And, like, it seems like now, like, there hasn't been, like, that person. I guess Louis C.K. or whatever, but like it's like, but you have to watch everything you say now. You can't be edgy, you can't say anything that's not politically correct because if it's on tape and it gets out there, your career literally will be ruined. So like,
and who? Yeah, but who ruined?
Again,
like,
it's free. You can say it.
Like George Carlin with his, you know, 7 dirty words in the 60s, I think it was, maybe late 60s, really early 70s. Okay, so getting cutting edge, like. The public opinion is like, oh, thank goodness, you know, we could have this more free expression. And then you mentioned some comics that were kind of running the show and just saying, yep, this is one of the last places we can actually have truth. Like, tell the truth. Like, can't find it in the media. You're not going to find it in, like, at your job. But the comedians had this little bubble where they could say anything, and we could actually laugh at the mostly because of things that are unsaid. So it's almost like this cycle. There's like a big wave cycle that happens. Like so, 60s and 70s. And who was that comedian? There was a comedian from the late 50s. He kind of opened the door. I can't remember his
Carlin?
Name. No, he was
Carlin.
Carlin came after
he
that.
He was pretty edgy.
Oh yeah, totally. Totally edgy. And totally.
Who was the dude? Yeah, he was the first guy to get persecuted for using all that language. What the hell was his name?
From New York, right?
Shit. Aves. The hell's his name? If any of our audience knows, let me know. Lenny.
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce. There it is.
Lenny Bruce.
From the archives.
Good job.
Of that fucking decrepit fucking whatever. Back of my brain is called. I came up with something really cool, then fucked it all up with a shitty follow through. But anyway, so Lenny Bruce, man, he was the guy.
He was yes, he you know. So he got a lot of persecution, and then but he opened the door, and then Pryor, you know, Richard Pryor. Now the one that I'm like obsessed with, Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks was only around.
Yeah,
well,
I know you love him.
16 years he was doing it, but that includes like when he was, you know, 15 and 16 when he started. But by towards the end, man, he was talking about the JFK murder and all this stuff that people didn't talk about, kind of the underbelly, you know. So these are the people.
What finally got him? What did he die of?
Pancreatic cancer at 32.
Ooh, I
know. He'd make all these jokes about smoking, like, yeah, I'm a smoker, yeah, I'm a drinker. And he'd make fun of people who didn't smoke. Like, well, we're all going to die someday. But anyway, yeah, pancreatic cancer got him, but what a loss. Because he was, like you were saying, one of these truth tellers, you know. But nowadays, like Jerry Seinfeld mentions it, Bill Maher, he's running to apologies or something. He said he would never do, like, you shouldn't apologize for speaking up. So now he said a certain word that.
Oh, he said the N-word.
He said the N-word, but he didn't have E-R at the end. He had just the A. And do you have a theory about that? If you have the N-word with an E-R or an A, is there a difference according to the rule book?
According to the social politically correct rule book, if you're white, you can't say anything after N-I-G. Or, ooh, maybe N-I. All you can do is, you can't say anything past N-I. But if you're, here's the deal. My business is in Trenton, right? So, you know, I'm a landlord and I do a ton of shit there. I hear, I giggle like my ass off. If I'm walking down the street and school's out, they are basically just the only words I'm hearing is the N-word, and they're just going back and forth calling each other. And I'm just laughing I giggle to myself, not because, you know, I'm not being racist, but it's just like it's so bizarre to be like in walking down the street and hearing that word just all over the place. And then it's like, you know, if you're not of that race, then you're, you know, it's racist. So it's just bizarre, but like, you know, you can. And I'm not going to say every city, but, you know, it's just I hear it a lot.
What are they doing?
You're white and you say the
right.
That's just
right.
Sort of like an – I don't know. It's like sort of like – I don't know. I don't know if they're – here's the thing. I'm not listening that closely, but I'm not sure if they're trying to belittle or degrade each other, like if they're calling each other like a, you know, some kind of curse word or something. Like I don't know what in the context that they're using it. But
okay.
It's used a lot, you know, so –
I see. Well, Bill Maher used it with just the A, not the E-R, I believe.
Okay.
And he had to backpedal and say, you know, I apologize and all that. That was something he didn't want to do. So, and then Jerry Seinfeld, you know, he's always on the circuit doing, like, colleges and things. And he's looking around. I know he's quoted, you know, in the past few years is, you know, what's going on here? Even the college campuses, it used to be, you know, a lot of forward thinking, open mind. Now it's like really shutting down. So it's probably just a cycle, phases that you know, people go through. Yeah. You get all constrained, and then you got to free yourself so someone comes along and opens the door again, and then the guys get shut down. But I don't know. Well, but at least we'll always have the First Amendment. I don't think that's going to go away. It's just like you're saying, interpreted, abridging the freedom of speech. The thing I like about the First Amendment, it also says, or of the press. Now, this is the only place in the Constitution where an actual job or, you know, occupation is mentioned, the press. Now, you and I have covered that topic very much already throughout the our time together, and it all depends on, you know, what's happening with the press. The press is supposed to, you know, not take sides and everything and just kind of report report what's going on. That's not the case. Now the press is a bunch of people with opinions. So, but it's interesting that it's in here, you know, that they wanted a free press that could comment on the government. This is all this whole thing is about making sure that the government doesn't shut people down. That's what it is. And so anytime you see the government taking over, saying, all right, can't do this, can't do that, then you know, wait, we might get out of hand here. But have you seen those certain places where there's something going on, like a march, or maybe an event's going on, and they have these roped-off areas that are called free speech area? Yeah.
And you can just stand there and just say what you want to say?
Well, it's like they have to rope off this area. You know, some people say, like real patriots say, wait a minute, you can't just rope off an area. This is free speech. It should be all. But then again, what if it delays other people? Like, have you ever seen these people who say, you know what, we're going to make a statement. We're going to block the road. We're going to, like, make a line of people and not let cars pass. Again, maybe not too, that's not too peaceful, because people might not, might need to get to a hospital or to a work. Or, anyway. Interesting.
Yeah. There's it's funny, because I told you about a man who I was going to try to get on the air. He's out fishing in the ocean. But he had an interesting, like, he's a really big constitutional guy, and he had a whole, like, handout. He had it on his computer. I said, hey, man, can you send that to me? And for some reason, he just couldn't find it. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of rules around this, and there's written rules. So, like, okay, we read that little paragraph. Now I think there's other stuff outside of that, an amendment here or there that really, you know, gets into the meat and potatoes of it. That's another big thing about the Second Amendment. You know, that's, if you ever read that, man, that's really open to interpretation. You know, it's like right to bear arms, but it's like, is it right to bear arms in your home? Is it right to bear arms all the time? It's like, there's just so many different things, and that could be a whole nother show. Matter of fact, it's funny. I'm going shooting tomorrow. I'm going to exercise my Second Amendment right tomorrow.
Sweet.
Putting some rounds down.
Good for you. Well, we got a couple minutes left. I mean, it's interesting.
I know. Fast.
Second. The this book's written about the First Amendment, but the actual First Amendment is about, I don't know, 50 words or so. So, I guess that's our job as Americans to interpret the best way possible that supports the people, and make sure the most important thing I think about the whole thing was making sure that tyranny, the king, that the, you know, the populace is the one that has the power. So,
yeah,
cool, man.
I love this
minutes.
Country. I'm very happy to be an American. I think we hit the citizenship lottery as far as countries go. I'm proud to be an American.
And it allows us to have something like Facebook. Yeah, so we're going to have a page called With All Dude Respect. With All Dude Respect, go to Facebook.com and then type in With All Dude Respect, different, you know, all different words, spaces in between, and then you will find us. We're here Fridays, 1 p.m. Western Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Rick and Jim. Well, yeah, thanks, Rick. Another great show.
Cool. Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Jimmy. Have a great weekend, brother.
You too. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Adios.